Good morning. My name is Nick. I'm the high school and young adult pastor. I am so glad that you guys are joining us this morning. If this is your first time here, you've not been here in a while, we've been in a series about holiness. Pastor Glenn has been leading us through the past 3 weeks of how do we pursue the process of becoming more like Jesus. How do we as Christians become more like Jesus? In pursuing holiness, some think is just attaining moral perfection. All right, we become morally perfect the closer we get to being like Jesus. But it's actually way more profound than that. Holiness and pursuing holiness is becoming, like I said, more like Jesus. It's this transformation process. As a kid, I was pretty dorky. I've always been tall. I was super skinny. I was sickly almost because of my heart condition. And so when I would go to school, I would get made fun of. I had gnarly teeth. I had glasses, pre-braces, lots of like awkward middle school-ish type experiences. All right? And so when we talk about transformation, what comes to my mind is this obsession that I had with somebody that was able to transform, and that's Superman. Any Superman fans in here? All right, so Superman, just a mild-mannered guy. He was kind of dorky, like I was. He was less than ordinary. All right, but in a flash of a moment, Superman, Clark Kent, could transform into something that was absolutely extraordinary. He was the hero. He was what saved the day, and everyone wanted to be like him, and I was obsessed with pursuing transformation. There's a story where I like would put on Superman clothes. I made my own cape out of a towel, put it around my neck, and I would just disappear. I would go off and I would fly around our yard trying to be Superman. I wanted this transformation in our lives. Wouldn't it be easy in our relationship with God if we could just snap our finger, if we could take off our glasses and we could be instantly transformed into the likeness of God, if we could just attain that holiness that we're going to see at the end of time when we're made new. If we can just shed our old self and be more like Jesus, wouldn't that be awesome? But the pursuit of holiness, the pursuit of following Jesus does not happen that way. We're not Clark Kent. This isn't Superman. It's a much different process. And so when we talk about transformation, what we're really talking about is pursuing holiness. It's becoming more like Jesus in this process. Today we're going to be looking at how we pursue holiness. And the best place that I can think of to start is actually in Scripture, because God gives us everything we need in His Word to pursue holiness, to become more like Him. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and pull that out. If you don't have one, there's one in the seat back in front of you. And if you don't own one, feel free to take that one with you. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. In the seat back Bible, it's on page 822. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 12. Paul is writing here to the church at Colossae, and he says, verse 12, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And above all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Let's unpack these verses, because I don't want us to miss what Paul is saying to the church here. What Paul is actually doing in these couple scripture verses is he's giving the Christians at Colossae a blueprint to how to pursue Jesus, a blueprint to seek holiness in their own lives. He's telling them just plainly, this is what you can do to help you be more like Jesus. First of all, he tells them, what's he tell them to do? He tells them to clothe themselves. He tells them to clothe themselves. This probably means that they were not clothing themselves with the words that he describes here in just a moment. Because the act of clothing yourselves means that you were wearing something else. And you're changing and you're putting on. And he says to put on these words, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and love. And the fact that he tells them, hey, you need to do this, again, probably indicates they weren't doing such a great job at it. And he goes on and he instructs them. He says, not only do you need to clothe yourselves with these things, you need to forgive each other. You need to bear with each other. You need to hang in there. Which further indicates that they weren't probably doing a great job with this. Because when you're not living these words, when you're not pursuing holiness, you're going to have a wake of tragedy behind you. You're going to have broken relationships, broken promises. You're going to have a lot of baggage to unpack. And so he tells them, I need you to forgive each other. And he takes it even a step further. He says, don't just forgive each other. Don't just bear with them. Don't just hang in there. You know what that's like? That's like when somebody does something to you and you're like, I forgive you. Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever done that? I've done that. What are you thinking in your mind? You're thinking, nah, I don't really want to forgive you. I'm going to hold on to this for a while. It's going to come back out later at some point. But I just need to do the right thing and tell you I forgive you. He's telling them, go beyond that. Go beyond just saying, I forgive you. He says, forgive other people in the same manner that Jesus forgives us. Boom. How does Jesus forgive us? He does so unconditionally, right? Jesus wipes our slate clean. Jesus doesn't sit there with a to-do list going, well, you really screwed up here, Nick. We're going to hear about that in just a moment. He doesn't do that. He says, I'm going to love you and I'm going to forgive you regardless. This is more than just bearing with someone. This is saying, I'm going to flood you with forgiveness. He tells them, above all, what holds all this together is that they need to strive for love and they need to strive for unity. Why do they need to strive for love and unity? Because when we're not pursuing holiness, especially as followers of Jesus, when we're not pursuing Him, when we're not pursuing transformation, we will not be unified. Why won't we be unified? Because we're going to be pursuing our own deceitful desires. We're going to be looking out for me, not you. But when we pursue Christ, when we pursue holiness, all of that changes. What Paul wants to do is he wants them to know what it's like to be Jesus, what it's like for us to look like Jesus. And he's giving them a prescription very clearly here in Scripture to look and to chase and to pursue holiness. When we seek holiness, when we pursue God, it changes absolutely every single aspect of our lives. It changes how we interact with our spouse. It changes how we interact with our family, with our friends. It changes everything. Holiness and the pursuit of holiness, the pursuit of transformation changes us. We're different. We had described these things by using the words he used in Colossians. So what's a holy, healthy relationship look like? It means that it's full of these words, and I'll say them again. Love, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's what it looks like to pursue holiness. Those are great words, aren't they? What happens when we don't put that into practice? I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you about the time that my wife and I, the only time, my wife and I got married. She was 22, I was 23. We were fresh out of Bible college. In fact, we really wanted to get married. I'm a year older than her, so I wanted to get married. She wanted to get married while she was still a senior in Bible college. Maybe you've been there. You're like, I just can't wait. Love is consuming me, and I have to be with you. And so we approached her parents, and we're like, you know what? We don't think we can wait. We just need to go ahead and get married right now. And her parents are like, are you sure that's wise? Because she's got a semester left of school. And I was like, it is wise. It is wise. The Lord wants us to be together. We were idiots, man. And you know what her parents said? Whatever parent says, what I'll say to my daughter's fiance, you can wait. Unless you want to pay for everything. Would you like to pay for her school? I was like, nah, thank you. You're so generous. I appreciate you giving us wise counsel. And we waited to get married. You know, but you're newlyweds. Everything's wonderful. We moved into our first apartment. And you know what? We chose, like stupid newlyweds do sometimes. We chose, hey, we want the third floor. Why do you want the third floor? So we can look out. We had this conversation. We need to be able to look out into the apartment complex and see the greatness of where we live. This is awesome. We're married. We're by ourselves. We're on our own. We don't need anybody. We got ourselves. That was great until we started carrying groceries up the stairs. We ordered a desk online. It's when he first started shopping online, and the delivery guy was like, I'm not carrying that up the stairs. He's like, I'm just going to leave that down at the bottom, and you guys can figure out how to get that up. Well, think about this. My wife, Laura, she's not a bodybuilder. I got a heart condition. I'm gimpy. I can't lift 90 pounds up the stairs. This is rough, all right? So we're in our marriage. Aside from those little things, we think everything is awesome. I think everything is amazing. I mean, it can't get any better. I get up. I go to work. I work hard. I come home. And you know what my wife's been doing all day? She's not working, so she's just hanging out at the house. All right, you know what she's been doing all day? She's been cleaning. She's been cooking. She's been folding my laundry. Now, you know, when you get married, everybody folds laundry differently. I remember when she folded my laundry the first time, I was like, nah, no, not how I really like it. And so years later, I'm like, I don't care. I'm just glad that it's clean and in the drawer. But I remember having this dumb conversation. You know, my wife was so good. She learned how to fold my laundry the way my mama folded my laundry. You know? She was so good to me. And I remember talking to my friend at work about my marriage. And he's like, how's marriage going, Nick? You know, marriage is the roughest in the first year. It's the hardest in the first year. And I'm like, mine's not. Mine's awesome. And he's like, well, what do you think makes your marriage so awesome, Nick? And I remember thinking to myself, I'm going to tell him everything my wife does for me. So he's jealous because I know his wife doesn't do that for him. And I started to say, oh, you don't believe it, man. When I come home from work, my wife has been working so hard all day. And she has everything ready for me. She's got a meal cooked. The house is clean. It's in order. Not only does she get this great meal prepared, we have dessert to eat. Afterwards, we sit down. We watch TV. Everything's done. We don't have to worry about anything. I can just relax. And he looked at me like I was a complete idiot. And he just stared at me and he was like, Nick, are you serious? He was like, your relationship isn't about making you happy. That's not what it's about. That's not a great marriage. Your relationship is all about you. And he told me, he said, Nick, that's not what we're supposed to do. You are supposed to be Jesus to your wife. You are supposed to love your wife the way Jesus loves the church. And right now, all you're doing is taking advantage of her, and she's loving you. And you're just using her. I was like, are we going to get a clap for that? And I thought, that's okay, that's good. I wish I hadn't have told you all of these things. And I was like, well, I'm just going to forget that. Scratch this conversation because I think my marriage is pretty awesome. But I couldn't ignore it because you know what was happening? At the same time, my wife was talking to his wife. My wife was having these conversations with her. And she was like, that's not normal. He's taking advantage of you. And my wife was like, yeah, that's right. He's taking advantage of me. And she was coming to this realization that our marriage was not a partnership. It was one-sided. I was getting all the perks. She was doing all the work. This isn't what marriage was supposed to be like. It wasn't full of compassion, kindness, humility. I said, what'd she do all day? She was working hard all day. At the time, I didn't realize that, though. I needed more humility. I needed gentleness. I needed patience. I needed love. Our relationship was not full of that because of me. Finally made sense what my friend was trying to tell me. I couldn't forget it. I couldn't move past it. I had to deal with it. As Laura and I continued to have these conversations, we had to confront it. And this is what my friend was trying to tell me. Relationships aren't about making us happy. They exist to help us be holy. God didn't give me a beautiful marriage in order to be able to lay back and let my wife do everything for me and for me to be able to claim that I worked hard all day and I could come home and do whatever I wanted to do. That's not the definition of pursuing holiness. God didn't give me the gift of marriage and a wife that was worth way more than I could ever dream of for me just to abuse that. But don't we do this in other situations? Don't we pursue most of our relationships this way? Not just marriage. Aren't our friendships really about making us happy? Aren't they really about helping us pursue our own desires? Here's the test. How often do you hang out with somebody that drives you crazy? When you get a free moment, how often you're like, I can't wait to hang out with that person? That's the test. What happens when things get tough or somebody gets just a little bit too much drama? We peace out. We're like, see you later. I need to find somebody else that's got less drama. You know what that means? That means we need to find somebody else that's going to let us continue to be selfish in that relationship. And followers of Jesus, we are not called to be selfish in relationships. They are not made to make us happy. God wants to use relationships to help us pursue holiness. What I didn't realize at the time that my friend told me these things, and my wife and I started having these conversations, was that my friend was repeating the same call that Scripture makes. My friend was calling me to pursue Jesus. He was calling me to pursue holiness. And it's the same call that Paul makes in Colossians to the church there. And it's the same call that he's making to us today. We are to be set apart. We are to be different. And if we follow Jesus, we are no longer the same. It changes our relationships. It changes our marriage. It changes our family. It changes how we interact with everyone. That's what pursuing holiness does. We're set apart. We're different. So how do we start figuring this out? Well, God wants to use the relationships that are around you right now. Maybe they're sitting right beside you. Maybe you texted them on the way in, or you're going to call them later. You're going to hang out with them tomorrow. God wants to use those relationships to help you and me pursue holiness. He gives us another clue to how we can use relationships, how God uses relationships, and how we can pursue holiness in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's turn there together. Ephesians chapter 4, it's on page 816. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 22. How do we pursue transformation? How do we pursue holiness? How does God use relationships to help us in this process? Ephesians 4, 22. He says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Sound familiar? He says, you're called to put off your old self. which is being nothing but corrupted by deceitful desires. Mine was my Southern bravado when I came into marriage. I'm a Southern man. My wife's from the North. We will rise and I will rule this marriage. Stupid. Deceitful desires. He says, put those off. He says, you need to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Put those off to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self that is created to be like God in true righteousness and true holiness. Highlight that in verse 22. Highlight old self. Underline it. It's important. Old self. We are to put off our old self, which is nothing but corrupted by deceitful desires. It's junk. Each one of us has an old self. It's the way that we were before we encountered Jesus. Like I already said, we're all born to be selfish. We naturally form relationships to benefit us. It's what the world teaches us. It's what being a human, unfortunately, is about. It's about profiting our desires. My old self in my marriage was taking advantage of my wife. That was my old self. Having a one-sided partnership instead of a union. Paul says that's not right. Scripture says that's not right. He tells us that we need to get rid of our old self. We need to set that junk aside. We need to stop playing with it. We need to take that off and we need to set that down and say, that's junk and I'm never going to wear that again. We need to set this aside. If you are a follower of Jesus, you need to set your junk aside. You need to set the ways of the world aside. That's our old self. That's before Jesus. We are not the same when we encounter Jesus. And in pursuing holiness and pursuing transformation, we must realize that we got to set that stuff aside. Instead, he tells us this. He says, put on your new self. Put on that new way that Jesus called you to. What's that new way? What's putting on the new way? Remember, we read something real similar to that earlier in Colossians. Clothe yourself. Remember that? Put on compassion. Put on kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and love. Put those things on. I was not living this out at the beginning of our marriage. And I'd like to say that after all these years, we've been married 11 years. After all these years, I got this covered. I don't struggle with this anymore. Our marriage is perfect. It's flawless. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's not the truth. I don't have these things figured out. You see, pursuing holiness is not about arriving. It's not about checking it off our to-do list. Oh, well, I fixed this, and now I'm holy. The pursuit of holiness is a journey. And so we are still journeying together as husband and wife. God is using my relationship with Laura to help me be holy. And he wants to use the relationships in your life to help you be holy as well. Neither one of us are perfect. Neither one of us has figured this out. But God wants to use our imperfections to show his greatness, his deeds of love and compassion and kindness in our lives. It's this journey of transformation that we're on. And God wants to do this in you. Don't miss that today. God wants to use the relationships in your lives to transform you. We don't have to pursue holiness alone. It's not once we accept Jesus, we're all by ourselves. And we got to figure it out. Last week, 15 people made the decision to accept Jesus for the first time. And they entered that water. And they said publicly in front of everybody, we want to leave our old self behind. and we want to accept Christ. And what he's calling us to do is not just that one-time thing, because you know when you become a Christian, not everything gets perfect. You're still going to struggle with junk. You're still going to have your old self that you're dealing with. But we're called, like they were last week, to put off our old self as well every single day. We wake up. Let me tell you, I want to get up in the morning and I want to lay in bed and let my wife take care of the kids and do everything. I want to say, it's Friday. It's my day off, my one day off a week. I just want to sleep in. Let me do it. It's real easy to slip back into that old way of thinking where I'm putting myself first. But we got to look at Colossians and we got to start putting this into practice. We got to realize that it's not something we arrive at once we start doing a couple things. It's a journey, it's a process. And we'll never be finished with it until Jesus comes back in his glory. And he looks at me and he says, Nick, that's your body now? You just hold on a second because I'm going to make it new. And those things that you've been struggling with, you're no longer going to struggle with because my grace is sufficient and my love is powerful. That's when it's finished. But in order for us to even begin the journey, in order for us to have holiness in our relationships and our families and our friends and our marriages, we need to have the central relationship right first. You see, none of this can happen unless we have the relationship with God handled. We got to take care of our vertical first, because it's out of our vertical relationship with God that we understand and that we even have the ability to pursue holiness in relationships with everyone else. There's no way that we can experience godly compassion, godly patience, godly love, godly gentleness with other people around us unless we first experience what Jesus has done for us. Everything flows out of that relationship. And in the beginning, I read Colossians to us. We've been saying these words that it gave us over and over and over. And God gave us these words as a blueprint for us, but he didn't just give it to us. He says, I am those words as well. This isn't just for you to write down and take home and work on. I did these things. I'm showing you the example. I'm showing you the way. Jesus shows us unimaginable compassion, amazing kindness, perfect humility, gentleness, tremendous patience, and most of all, unconditional love. Jesus says, in your pursuit of transformation, in your pursuit of holiness, I set the bar high. I did it first. And I did this for you. And so for us to begin today in pursuing holiness, we can't walk out of here thinking that we can do it on our own and we can read a little bit of scripture and everything's going to be okay, because that's not how it works. This isn't just a rule book for how to live your life better. This is a book about transformation. This is a book about the one who transforms, and that is Jesus. And we have to get this relationship right in order for us to be able to get these relationships right, in order for us to pursue holiness. And so if you have not accepted Jesus, then I challenge you. That's your next step. If you want to know true peace in your relationships, if you want to know true patience, true kindness, true gentleness, true love, then you are going to have to experience that first by what Jesus does for you. Because he does it for each of us. Jesus demonstrated this. He did it first, which is my main point for today. The journey to holiness begins in relationships. The journey begins in relationships. And that first relationship is the most important. It's our relationship with Jesus. But they don't happen by accident. We don't just one day stumbling in to be a better husband. I didn't just go home from my friend's conversation and say, wife, everything's now good. I got it worked out. That's not how it works. We're not Clark Kent. We can't just take off our glasses and be transformed. It's a process. And we have to be intentional about it. Nothing's an accident in this. I had to choose to start living my marriage differently. And we have to choose that we are going to interact differently with the cashier at Walmart. with a person that's driving in front of us or behind us, with the person that cuts us in line when we're trying to get good movie seats, with the refs at our kids' games, with our kids' teacher. It affects every interaction that we have. Jesus changes everything. And when we pursue holiness, we can't live the same that we've always lived. We have to set off that old self. We got to put on our new clothes. So again, I ask you, if you've not made that decision, that's your first step. That's your so what. That's what you walk out of here thinking about. It's how do you enter into a relationship with Jesus? And I want to tell you right now, it's pretty easy. Jesus did all the heavy lifting. Jesus did all the work. All we have to do is say, Jesus, I want to claim that in my life. You don't have to wait to an open baptism weekend. We do those once a month, but you don't have to wait. We baptize people all the time. We talk to people all the time that want to accept Jesus. Matter of fact, right after service, we're going to have prayer partners up here in the front, and you can come up and talk to one of those, or you can go next door in the courtyard and talk to someone at our connecting place. They will help you take your next steps in your relationship with Jesus. Again, we cannot move forward unless we get this relationship right, because it's out of this relationship that we understand what compassion is, what love is, what gentleness is, what everything is. And out of that understanding, it overflows into everyone else. Now, if you're sitting there and you're like, Nick, I already did that, this is what I want you to do. I want you to join me in this. And I want to warn you right now, it's not easy. And even though I'm getting ready to say these words, I don't even want to say them because I don't want to do them. But I need to, and you need to join me. Let's call it a 7-week challenge. I want you for 7 weeks to choose one of the words in Colossians and focus on that for 1 week. 1 week, I want you to focus on compassion. What's it mean to be compassionate in your relationships? What's it mean to be compassionate to your spouse, to your sister, to your brother, to your mom or your dad? Think about that. What's that mean for 1 week? Next week, maybe you choose kindness. What's it mean to be kind to the people around you? Now listen, I'm not talking about I need to be nice to people. That's a surface level relationship. That's a surface level change. Jesus doesn't want to deal with the surface. He wants to change our hearts. He wants us to pursue holiness. He wants to transform us. And so we got to do what we got to do to understand this. You can join a study. You can join a group. You can ask us. But you know what? The best thing you can do is open up your computer and type in www.google.com and put in the words, patience. Scripture, what's it mean? And you're going to find all sorts of resources about how we start applying Scripture at a much deeper level. Because when we pursue holiness, we don't remain shallow in our understanding. God takes us deeper. It's a process. It's a journey. And it begins with relationships. We have to put these words into practice. Choose one word a week. And I want you just to focus on that one word that week. I'm going to be doing this right alongside you because I'm going to tell you, my relationship's not perfect. We all have some improving to do. As our servers prepare for communion, I want us to revisit the intentionality of Jesus. Because like I said, pursuing holiness doesn't happen by accident. Becoming a better spouse, becoming a better friend, becoming a better son or daughter doesn't happen by accident. Do we show someone compassion because they deserve it? No. We show someone compassion because we didn't deserve it and Jesus showed it to us. Jesus was intentional. Jesus did it on purpose. And we're reminded every single week at communion time of the intentionality of our God. Our God never tires of seeking us out. Our God never says, I'm done, I'm finished. That person's just too hard. Their heart is just too hard. No, God seeks each one of us out, and we're all in different places in the journey, but God wants us to know His love so that we can understand His love and then give that love to everyone around us. And then through those relationships, through those interactions, we can pursue holiness. So in just a moment, you're going to have the bread and you're going to have the juice, and we do this every single week. Not so it becomes routine, but because it's just so incredibly important. It's a reminder every week that our God chose us, that He was intentional. He gave us holiness. He cleansed us. He set our relationship right with God. Now we need to continue to pursue holiness. After communion, we'll go into a time of offering. An offering deals with money, but let me tell you, money can be a big master for a lot of people. And money is a way for me to say, I'm going to continue to pursue holiness. I'm going to trust God with my money, with my hard-earned money. I'm going to trust Him with that, and I want to give that to Him and let Him have it. Let me tell you, God's super wealthy. He's beyond wealthy. He doesn't need our money. This is for us in our pursuit of holiness, for us to continue to worship Him, to thank Him for what He's done for us. So as you think about what you put in the offering basket, make it an offering, make it a gift. Do it out of a place of, God, I want to seek You out. Would you pray with me? God, thank You so much. God, thank You so much for Your compassion, Your gentleness, Your kindness, Your patience, Your love. Thank You so much for never giving up on us. And God, as we remember what You've done and the example that You've set for us, I pray, God, that You would fire us up, not to just take this juice and take this bread and say, oh, that was great. But God, help us to say, all right, now what do I need to do about it? You've done the work. Now what do I need to do? What's my part? God, help this to be a transformative process within itself. God, challenge us. Help us to grow to be more like You.